everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch on the other side of the glass. John's on the other side of the glass, and I'm on this side of the glass. And John producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show. We welcome you to the program. It is Monday, the 16th of September, 2019. How about those Wildcats? So, you know, Tate is back. I hope he was in his form, kind of 2017 form, and Arizona football looked very good. Now, the crowd, that's a little different situation. Not that they weren't noisy, but less than 40,000 was the attendance. I think it was like 37,000. Lowest attendance since something like 1997. But anyway, maybe people will start returning to Arizona Stadium now that the Wildcats look pretty good. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. My assistant, Rosemary Brandt, had a chance to catch up with Rose at breakfast yesterday and give her a big kudos and thank you for making sure the Buckmaster Show gets posted in a very timely matter. Rose usually gets it up within a couple of hours of the conclusion of our program. All of the podcasts available 24/7, buckmastershow.com, live line number 790-2040 for comments, especially during the first half hour, because it's the Monday political face-off. With us, Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, is with us. Don, good to see you again. I haven't seen you a lot. Our schedules have kind of overlapped, and you've been up in Seattle, and I was up in Vancouver Island, but it's good to see you back in the studio.
It's good to be back. I think we did pass through the same airports at different times.
Same airports, different times. Bruce, good to see you. You've been pretty regular here on the show, even with your beautiful home in Coronado Island. But now you're back here for the fall. We're in fall here.
We're almost fall. It's amazing. Yeah, it's great.
So it's,
we packed everything up yesterday. We're back, and we love Tucson. As nice as San Diego is, Tucson's home and always will be.
Yeah, San Diego, one of the most beautiful settings for a big city. There's no question about it. Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This has been a great family-run organization since 1985. Bruce Ash has been a big patron of Moe's over the years, as have I. In fact, we got together and put up some of the old prints and maps from the Buckmaster House. They're on sale through the sale actually goes all this week and then another week, so you still have a couple of weeks to get over there. There are a couple of dozen items. We've priced it really fairly. A lot of the stuff is around, some of it's under $100, and 100% of the proceeds go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. It's the Buckmaster Collection over at Moe's, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce, I wanted to ask you, you were up over, I think it was Saturday, the meeting was in Phoenix, right, for the statewide committee of the Republican Party, and I'm sure this topic of not having a presidential primary in Arizona came up. Maybe that was the main agenda. I don't know. Tell us.
Well, it was a quarterly meeting. Both political parties have these quarterly meetings of the executive committee, county chairs and legislative district chairs and their colleagues. And we actually are having a primary, but it's just different than the PPE that we've had in the past. Going back to 2012, when Barack Obama was running for reelection, there were 10 states that opted out of their normal party process, similar to what we are doing along with three other states. And this is a process that will be a party contest, not using any taxpayer funds, that saves nearly $3 million, approximately. And precinct committeemen will be eligible to vote in the LD and county elections to send delegates to the state convention. And this will be for the purpose of declaring that our 57 votes at the national convention, which starts in August of 2020, goes to the winner of our process, which we anticipate will be Donald Trump.
So it's more of a housekeeping thing for the Republican Party.
Well, yeah, but it'll
taking
sure.
care of business. Who's going to go to the
sure.
to the big event in August? Is it Charlotte?
So, okay. So that actual convention, state convention, will occur in May of 2020.
Okay.
And there'll be a process that we've now sent on to the Republican National Committee under Rule 16 and anticipate. I talked to the council's office on Friday, and I don't anticipate that there's going to be any modifications to it. We had Josh Findlay from the 2020 reelect team with us on Saturday. Josh is... He considers himself sort of the technical advisor to the campaign on issues like this, and he was there along with Brian Sychek, who's the state chair for the Trump 2020. Much different here in 2019 and 2020 yeah. compared to 2016, because you know, this campaign has been up and going now, you know, for mm-hmm. 3 years. And
well, what do you think, Don?
Well, I've got to hand it to the Republicans.
There are three candidates.
Right. At least the Republicans are consistent
yeah.
in limiting voting mm-hmm. and opposing democratic process. Now, it's a Republican Party. They can do what they want, and clearly what they want is not to have an open primary. And I don't mean open primary by non-Republicans. I mean mm-hmm. allowing members of the Republican Party to vote for their presidential preference. Clearly, it's limited just to elected party officials, as Bruce just described. The other difference, to correct something Bruce said earlier, the Democrats did not have a presidential preference election or primary for Barack Obama's reelection because he was the only one on the ticket. There were no opposing right. candidates. This time there are. There are three Republicans.
If there had been three Democrats opposing Barack Obama, you can't imagine them just not doing a primary.
No, that's never happened. Democrats have always had a primary when there are opposing candidates, even opposing a sitting president.
Hmm.
The thinking is, because it's happened in the past, whenever there has been a sitting president that's been primaried, whether it's Jimmy Carter or George H.W. Bush, the thought is perhaps that weakened them and they lost their reelection. Now, the question is, were they already weak and that's why they mm-hmm. they had primary candidates, or did that weaken them? You have a similar situation here. This time, as we're seeing, the Republicans, at least in this state and three others, don't want to take a chance on Trump looking weak.
Mm. And the three candidates, Bruce, are not very formidable, to say the least. Is that the way you look at it?
They're not very formidable. They probably won't qualify to get on the ballot in a number of these states that are having contests. And Don, to correct you, there probably are hundreds of people who are candidates for president of the United States. There's no sense having an election process in Arizona where millions of dollars are spent at taxpayer expense when the outcome of that election is assured. Mark Sanford, Bill Weld, and Joe Walsh are absolutely no competition to the president of the United States. And it's interesting. I understand the difference that you note, but what seems to be good for Democrats is evil for Republicans to do. And I think anybody listening here today understands the hypocrisy of what you just said.
Well, there's no hypocrisy. The Democrats have had a primary whenever there are opposing candidates. The Republicans are choosing not to. And as you just said, the Republican leadership has determined that these three candidates are not worthy of opposing Donald Trump. Now, as you know, you don't put millions of candidates on the ballot. They have to qualify. In this case, Arizona Republicans are saying, don't even bother trying. You know, Vladimir Putin couldn't have been more proud of what the Arizona Republicans are doing to limit any opposition.
How do you qualify? Do you go gather signatures to get on a ballot? I mean, how does that work?
There's a application. There are signatures that one needs to submit, mm-hmm. as well as paying an entry fee.
Okay.
And neither Walsh nor Sanford nor Weld have had any contact whatsoever with the Arizona officials of their even interest. And this is long before the news was out regarding our opt-out of the PPE process.
All right, I want to change the topic, but now we will take our break and talk about Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe'sGallery.com is the website. We thank Moe for his support over the years with our Monday political face-off. We're going to take our break right here. When we come back, the Democratic field is still flawed. So says David Lionheart, of the New York Times today, and we'll get into what he thinks and why Ms. Harris could be the person to watch in the Democratic field. We'll continue with the Monday political face-off with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. The program is Buckmaster. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators today, seated to my left, Don Jorgensen, and seated to my right, Bruce Ash. David Lionheart wrote in the New York Times, the Democratic field is still flawed, and here's his reasoning about that. He says that Biden, who really does have swing voter appeal, doesn't look sharp right now. Sanders looks sharper, but his democratic socialism is a bigger general election risk than the Bernie faithful acknowledge. And then Warren is running by far the best campaign, according to Mr. Lionheart. But the person that he likes and says don't give up on is Harris. What do you think, Don?
Well, personally, I agree. I think Harris has a lot to offer. I think Amy Klobuchar has a lot to offer, because those are two that fall into the kind of centrist progressive area where the others have been staking out positions. Yeah, in terms of describing the whole field as flawed, you can say that about any primary field a year before, whichever party you look at. You know, you go back to 4 years ago on the Republican side, you had, I think, 9 on the stage, and you had extremes on both ends. And we have the same process now. The candidates are still introducing themselves to Democratic voters, other than folks who read everything every day like us.
Uh-huh.
Folks are just starting to warm up and starting to learn about them. And that's what's happening in the debates right now. They're still introducing themselves. They're still using parts of their kind of canned stump speeches, if you will. And it's going to be a while before it shakes out, probably not until after the Iowa caucuses, before you see some folks drop out, unless they run out of money prior to that time.
And there's been very little movement in the polls.
Right. And I think this is why, because folks are still just getting to know who's who, with some exceptions. Bernie Sanders is a good exception. I think in this case, his support is pretty well defined. And it was defined 4 years ago. It hasn't changed. And what's interesting about that, and the challenge for Bernie, is that there's, I think, very little room to grow. He may be at his ceiling now in terms of who's going to support him or move to him. Where you have someone like Kamala Harris, as you mentioned, who has the opportunity to move up as folks move away from other candidates, if she does a good job of presenting her vision a little more clearly, her policies, there's that opportunity. Joe Biden's the other one who may have maybe hitting his ceiling. Now, that may be enough to win some primaries and get the nomination down the road. But the challenge right now is in these early primaries is to generate passion and enthusiasm. That's what Donald Trump was able to do in his way.
Yeah.
That's what Elizabeth Warren is doing now in her way. Mm-hmm. Had the opportunity to attend her rally in Seattle, which was her largest to date, about 15,000
people. Were people enthusiastic?
Extremely. But again, she was in a city that has her base.
Yes.
Young, Seattle's educated professionals. It had a mix of ages.
Made for her.
Radicals.
Well,
it's almost made for her.
Yes, and highly successful businesses, those radicals like Boeing, but also, Amazon, Microsoft, Google. You have a lot of young professionals, but it was a mix of gender, not a huge mix of race, and that's one of her challenges. But what we saw there was enthusiasm, and that's what can win you some primaries. You had people sitting out in the hot sun, hot for Seattle. Okay, let me
79
about
79 degree.
Yes, not a cloud in the sky, but they were out there for 4 hours and loved her.
Yeah. How do you see it, Bruce? And I know you're going to say polls don't matter at this point.
No, they really don't. Okay. But, you know, the real poll is when we start voting and you know, caucusing and all the other things that when the actual physical process has started. Right now, it seems to me that the media is, in large sense, trying to direct who the public should be voting for. When you look at the amount of speaking time, for example, that Senator Harris got versus Senator Warren versus Joe Biden, she got probably a fifth of the amount of time in these debates. And that's not an anomaly. This has occurred this way more times than not. The questions are being sent to those certain candidates that the media is trying to, I think, to push onto the public. We're going to see probably some winnowing out here shortly. You know, Joe has always been a gaffe machine. I mean, that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. But at some point in time, people might start wondering, does he have the staying power to make it through a campaign as well as now become the president of the United States?
And boy, will that become important if he were to get the nomination about who he chooses to be the running mate.
So the argument with Joe is, well, he's the most electable.
Right.
Okay. You know, if you're running in a head-on-head with the president.
Right.
And I get that, but the Democratic Party has really shifted. And Don's alluded to that several times, including today. It's a different party than what it was in 2008 and 2012 when he was the vice president. And it's far different. You know, I went to a Trump MAGA rally for McSally back in October of 2018. And as I looked out into the crowd, I said to myself, you know, this crowd, this is like the sort of crowd that John F. Kennedy would have had, or Robert F. Kennedy would have had, or George McGovern would have had. Lots and lots of blue-collar guys, of great diversity in the crowd. And you don't see that really so much in the Democratic process.
Well, you are seeing that in some of the different
not
rallies.
Not in the donors. Not in the donors.
Trump has his,
not
has
the donors
his
and the opinion makers are all in the elite class. And like I said, the media plays way too large of a role, and they played perhaps too large of a role in 2016 in both of those primaries, primary mm-hmm. contests. Both
and
on
you're
the Republican
contending
side.
The media is steering people toward Elizabeth Warren. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
To the newest brightest thing.
Oh, okay.
Klobuchar came out looking good. This Julian Castro guy. I mean, the whole thing with him the other day. My goodness gracious.
Well, let me respond to that. First of all, with Castro, actually, in many of the things Bruce just said, we agree. Castro, that was a desperation pass, and it failed. He was wrong on the facts and wrong on the attack. But you see that. He's not going to be the nominee, though. Yes, the media does control where people's attention goes in large part. That we did see this, as Bruce said, with Trump. I mean, they were showing empty podiums before Trump was coming to speak because they knew he would put on a show and give them ratings, and that's what the media is all about in this case.
It's a business.
Elizabeth Warren right now is the bright, shiny object out there and giving them a lot of meat and a lot to focus on. We know that's going to continue. My concern, my issue with the media are at these debates. They're the ones asking the questions and selecting the questions, and a lot of that is, let's have you and him fight, you know?
Oh, no question. Oh, it's always been about it's like a boxing match.
Right. Rather than focusing on issues and allowing them to present their positions clearly, which is what people want. And I've heard from many folks who are tired of that manufactured outrage or manufactured fighting because it's not real. That's not what people want to know. So if we can call on the media, I don't know who's doing the next one. I think it's CNN, to start focusing on issues that matter to folks, and ideally focus on issues that are happening right now. Let's hear about foreign policy. Let's hear what they think about Trump's corruption and how they're going to act differently with regard to the emoluments and all these other issues that are happening now.
How would Trump and Warren, what would that look like? What kind of debate would that look like, Bruce Ash?
Not a very even one. You know, Elizabeth Warren is not very likable for the same reasons, you know, sort of in
Bruce,
in an
just
opposite
haven't
fashion.
Met her.
In an opposite fashion, Donald Trump isn't very likable to a lot of people. There hasn't been yet a Democratic candidate with sort of a vision for the future of America. They talk about things. A lot of them raise their hands on the podium, which is going to come back and bite them later on, whether it's gun grabbing or Medicare for all or free college or whatever the goofy, you know, question of the day is. But they're all over the place, and it's more about giving stuff away than it is really a vision. So where are we on? And Don, you're right. You know, we should be having significant discussions on foreign policy. We ought to be having significant conversations about, you know, tariffs and trade and so on. And we're not having those, and not having them on the Democratic side either, really.
Right. And that's the challenge. That's what we want to see. And I think as a result of that, as you said, those that have serious approaches, that have answers and can excite the base, like Trump did on the Republican side. You need a Democratic candidate to do the same. Now, that person can still emerge, but that's what's going to be required, because for Democrats to win in 2020, they have to get out the vote. They're not going to turn Trump voters into Democratic voters. They have to get out not just their base, but they have to get the other folks who kind of stood to the side 4 years ago out to vote. And it's going to take something more than and you'll like this. This is going to take something more than just Trump bashing. They are going to have a clear vision and a clear alternative.
And Senator Harris's comments after the New York Times article the weekend saying that Brett Kavanaugh ought to be impeached over this claim that was made by we didn't even know if it was made by her. And you know, the New York Times retracted the article almost immediately after the thing was falling apart. This is not the sort of thing that a real viable candidate for the president of the United States should be engaging in.
Well, she was asked a straight question and she gave a straight answer. That's the difference that you're not used
to.
Well, there's
a
whole lot more to this issue, and I hope folks do pay attention to the facts around this issue.
All right, if we've got 1 minute, because we're taking a hard break these days for CBS News at the bottom of the hour, but we didn't even get a chance to talk about the 17, 18, 19 facilities that were torched in Saudi Arabia on Saturday. So this is going to be a very challenging.
Drone attacks may be one of the very, very scary forms of warfare that we see even here in this country.
And with the foreign policy disarray we have right now in D.C., we need to move very cautiously.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and basically just the best framing in town. And check out the Buckmaster Collection over at Moe's. That will be up through the last Saturday in September. Some great old maps and prints. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly Scam Alert, presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Miriam Cruz is with us, the Director of Communications and Consumer Affairs at the BBB. Miriam, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill.
It's always a pleasure to see you. And it's just, there's no shortage of scams. And a little bit later on in the interview, we'll be talking about the BBB scam tracker. I went on there and it was fascinating just looking at that in real time. People saying, this is from all over North America. People, they were scammed. One person lost $1,500, and on it goes. So this is very important information that we're giving our listeners. Let's begin with Amazon. This is something called a brushing scam. What is that about?
Right. So the Amazon brushing scam is very interesting, because at first you think that it's just free merchandise arriving at
free
your doorstep.
Free stuff. Yeah, free stuff right at my door.
Yeah, and who likes it?
Hey,
doesn't
I didn't
like
order that. I didn't order that, but let me see what's in the box.
Yeah, so the box comes to your doorstep and it is, you know, addressed to you and everything. So you open the box and it has a whole bunch of products, like little products that you didn't order. In one case, someone reported a humidifier, a hand warmer, you know, a Bluetooth speaker. So just a whole bunch of little items. And you're like, okay, maybe, you know, someone made a mistake and I just received this order by mistake. But it turns out that it is part of a scam. Yeah. So what happens is that...
What possible motivation could there be for giving away free stuff?
I know. And one would think like, yeah, why would someone send me free stuff? But it's actually third-party companies that are sending you these items so they can boost their reviews on Amazon. So So what they do is just purchase these items. They send them as gifts to consumers, just random consumers. And because they purchase the item as a gift, they're allowed to leave a authentic or verified review. And those reviews on Amazon are a little bit more, carry a little bit more weight because it assumes that you actually purchased the item and that you actually used it. So when, you know, the time comes for consumers to search for items online, those products will come up higher on those search results because of those positive reviews.
So someone would take the merchandise that they did not order, that they did not pay for, but they would write a review. Is there something in the box that encourages people to write a review, or is it just something these people that are sending the free stuff are kind of hoping that the person then would write a review?
Yeah, so the person that receives it is not the person who writes a review.
Okay.
So the person that sends it. So the third-party vendor.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
And because they've sent the item as a gift, that's what allows them to the ability to leave a review.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So the downside for someone who receives the free merchandise would be what?
So the downside, the downside is that you might want to think about how your information got to the hands of these third party.
Yeah, how did they even know to send you this?
Right. And most of the time, you know, or sometimes you actually purchased an item from them in the past and that's how they have your information. And you didn't realize that you were dealing with a third party vendor through Amazon. And then sometimes, you know, it's so easy to find an address and a consumer name online that, you know, that's how they obtain that information. But I think after you kind of don't freak out if that happens to you. And obviously you want to report that incident to Amazon so they can track it. And if they...
Probably the first step. What I would do. I would notify Amazon that I've received this goodie box. But I'm sure there are people who just figure, oh, I've got a free gift here and don't do it. And that could be a problem.
Yeah, and that could be a problem. And, you know, according to the Federal Trade Commission, you can keep the items.
Legally, you can keep
the items. Some people don't like to, so you can definitely donate them, but definitely report them to Amazon because they want to track that kind of behavior. And most importantly, so they can remove those positive reviews that have been posted on that item if you did not actually buy that item. So.
And this, Miriam Cruz, might be a good incentive, and I'm not as good as I wish I was about changing passwords. I need to do it every month or whatever, and a lot of people don't. And, you know, my passwords sometimes have been out there a while. This might be a good incentive if you get a goodie box. Just maybe go in and change maybe your Amazon password.
Yes, change that password.
Yeah.
And then also just make sure you keep a close eye on your statements, on your bank statements, just in case anything funny happens. And also, if you have a credit monitoring, you know, service, just kind of check your credit report as well. And people don't know that you can actually get a free credit report once a year from all three bureaus by going to annualcreditreport.com. And that is a free service and it's secure. And it'll actually give you your credit report once a year for free.
If you are targeted by a scam, you can help others by filing a scam report. And I mentioned at the beginning of our session, I went on the scam tracker, which is really an amazing tool. And it's so easy to find. It's through bbb.org/scam tracker. But you can even Google like scam tracker and it's going to come up probably.
Yes.
So it's, how does it work? It's really a reporting service from all over North America.
Yeah, so the cool thing about the scam tracker tool is that it's a online crowdsourcing tool.
Yes.
So anyone can report scams, and you can go on there and see what scams are happening in the country, in your state, and you can even zoom in to see what's happening in your neighborhood. So this maps allows you to zoom in, see where reports have been happening in your area, and then read the detail of those scams that have been reported.
Yeah.
So you can see, hey, you know, I got a call and someone else got a call, you know, down
it's
the street.
It's fascinating.
From
me. And it is by zip code. They show zip codes. I just took a look, a quick look. This is just like when I was on there and just stuff that was happening immediately in real time. 4 fake invoices. Somebody was complaining about phishing. There were 2 fake checks. Charities, which is always good to talk about, especially in light of the Bahamas, what was going on there.
Right.
And then there was this poor soul who lost $1,500 on an online purchase. And the details are right there. You can check this out.
Exactly. Yeah. You can view all the information. Sometimes it'll include websites or phone numbers. So if you get that phone number, a call from a phone number like that, you know not to answer it or just ignore it.
Before we wrap up, and you've got some events I want to get to, but just these fake invoices, could you kind of quickly articulate what are we talking about with fake invoices? I know in past episodes we've kind of touched on it, but how does that work?
Yeah, usually fake invoices are received by business owners mm-hmm. for supplies or services that they didn't order or services that they really didn't receive. And scammers are counting on the fact that a lot of business owners are just, you know, they want to pay bills on time and they don't want to fall behind. So they'll just pay it without realizing that they did not order that, those products or that service.
Well, it must be pretty common because, like I say, I saw 4 of them pop up around the country.
Yeah.
That must be one of the scams of choice right now.
Sadly it is. Yeah.
Yes. All right. You've got some big events coming up, the BBB September. You're doing one of these network mixers pretty much every month, right?
Correct. So we have them every month on the 3rd Tuesday of the month. And we're going to be at Cafe Torino in the Foothills tomorrow from 5 to 7. And the event is cost-free. Thanks to our sponsor, Jan Pro Cleaning Services of Tucson.
And we've had them on the show before. Jan Pro does a great job.
Yeah.
They're very dedicated to the cleaning business. What's this Ethics and Leadership Symposium?
Yeah, so one of our missions is to really support ethics in the marketplace. And the Public Relations Society of America has invited our CEO, Pam Krim, to be on the executive panel discussion for their Ethics Symposium this Thursday, September 24th. It'll be at the Tucson Marriott University Park from 9 to 1. So Pam is going to join, you know, CEOs from Caliber Group, from Snell & Wilmer, and AGM Container. And they're just going to talk about the importance of ethics and, you know, how CEOs can really filter and create that culture of ethical business practices in Southern Arizona.
Well, they've got a good one on the panel. Pam certainly knows what she is talking about. So that's going to be a good discussion Thursday, September the 24th, Tucson Marriott University Park, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So that's going to be a good event. One of your events is sold out. Did you want to mention anything about that?
Yeah, I just want to thank our partner. We're hosting a seminar on social media, Simplifying Social Media, this Thursday, September 26th.
Mm-hmm.
It has been sold out. Cox Business is our sponsor, and they have done a great job. But unfortunately, yeah, we're out of space or out of...
That's so good. There's a lot of interest in it. So
yeah.
Congratulations on being sold out. All right, Miriam Cruz, always a pleasure from the BBB. And for more information about BBB, so easy to check it out, bbb.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Buckmaster Show on this Monday, 10:30, The Voice, Trusted News Talk. We'll be right back with Comet Discover, former Parade Magazine science editor, Dr. David Levy. He'll be on the live line right after this. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to a cooler place. We just pulled up the current Silver City temperature. Get this, 75 degrees. How about that? That mile high elevation really does pay off. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all the information about great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in cooler Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Additional support comes from Green Things. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Not only can you get all of your beautiful plants, like I did, bought a beautiful rose plant a week ago over on their 13-acre site, but they're also home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise, much of it handmade, handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come visit the five shops at Zocalo Village. More information at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now one of the fine Buckmaster contributors, two dozen or so people we are so proud to have on board on our roster of regular contributors. He's Dr. David Levy, contributor on science to the Buckmaster Show, and he is the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most famous comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm very well, Dr. Buckmaster. And two things. It might be 76 in Silver City, but it's not much warmer here with a lot of clouds and threatening rain. So we're pretty good here in Vail today, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not too bad out there today. David, how is the autobiography doing? Have you been doing some book signings, and are there some coming up?
Before I get to that, the other thing is that I had a chemistry teacher that I really respected a lot, almost as much as I respect you.
Oh, well, thank you.
His name was also Mr. Buckmaster when
what?
I was in high school in Montreal.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
A quick side note, if I may, about the Buckmaster clan. There are only about 2,000 Buckmaster families in Canada and the United States. So you ran into one of them, and sounds like you had a good experience with one of the Buckmasters.
I certainly did. He was very, very strict.
Oh.
But he was very good, and he knew his chemistry cold.
Yeah, well, there you go. We're in Canada and the United States, and of course...
Now, to answer your question,
yes.
I just came back from a wonderful book signing tour for my new book, A Night Watchman's Journey. I signed in Montreal, I signed in Ottawa, I signed in Kingston, and then I gave a lecture in Plattsburgh, within a few days' time.
Very nice, and this is a perfect time of year. Up in that part of Canada with autumn starting to come on. Speaking of autumn, you can really feel it, David Levy, can't you? The transition has begun. And do you have any star parties planned?
Yes, we do. We have two of them. There's one at the end of this month, which is on Mount Wilson, atop Mount Wilson in California. And I will be giving a book signing there and a lecture.
Okay.
It's run by Explore Scientific. And the other one, also run by the same group of people, is called the David Levy Star Party, Dark Sky Arizona Star Party, taking advantage of one of the darkest night sky that we have in the United States. And it's really going to be terrific.
And we just had the harvest moon here this
September. And also, before we get onto the harvest moon, I'll be doing a book signing at the Tucson Amateur Astronomy Association on the 4th of October.
And where are they located, David?
They're located at the University of Arizona, near where you used to work.
Uh-huh.
And at the Stewart Observatory main lecture auditorium.
Yes, very close to my old stomping ground in the basement of the Modern Language Building.
Yeah, we had fun with that.
Yes, we did, where I worked for 22 years and never saw the light of day in the basement there. So it's kind of nice to be in a different area. How about your new 12-inch diameter telescope?
Yes, for the first time in many, many years, Wendy has allowed me to get a new telescope. It will be a 12-inch diameter Dobson. Reflector, and it's called Eureka, or as they would say in Greece, Evrika. It is based on an asteroid.
An asteroid?
Based on an asteroid that we discovered in 1990, which shares the same orbit that Mars has, precisely the same orbit. And it's about a third of the way around the sun from where Mars is, but it is called a Mars Trojan.
Hmm.
And we decided to name it Eureka, an expression of joy upon making a discovery. I think you all know the story about Eureka when Archimedes was in the bathtub and he discovered his principle of displacement when a bar of soap fell into the bathtub and the water
yes.
rose a little bit to displace it. He was so excited about it, he jumped out of the bathtub, ran outside yelling out, "Eureka, Eureka!" I guess in those days it didn't matter that he probably did not bother to dress himself after he jumped out of the bathtub.
Well, I guess not.
Yeah.
Anyway, David Levy, the quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show. It's all yours, my friend.
Thank you. The quote of the month is one that I've given before and probably will again. It's the subtitle of my book, which is The Road Not Taken, and it's from the famous Robert Frost poem. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
And that's so true. And how many people, and I'm for one, that quote is so important in their lives, and I love that quote. David, I've got a couple of minutes left, so I wanted to circle back. What is special, and you were talking about the 12-inch diameter telescope. This is the first new telescope for you in a long time?
In a very long time. Okay. I decided that when I go out to a star party or somewhere away from home, I really need a slightly bigger telescope than the 6 that I've been using. So this 12-inch will give me more light-gathering power, and I'll be able to do a little bit more serious observing with it. And that's why I really pushed to be able to get it, and it looks like it'll be happening in time for the star party at the end of October.
Now, periodically I do ask you this question because we have listeners who want to kind of get into the field with an entry-level telescope, perhaps thinking of the holidays coming up. Can you make a couple of recommendations on where they should go?
I can make one, definitely one, that they head off to Starzona, which is on Oracle Road, and there they will meet Dean Koenig, who is very professional and very good, and there they can find a very good introductory telescope, and they can buy a copy of my book there at the same time.
Very nice. And what do you recommend as an entry level? What are some of the considerations that you should keep in mind?
Oh, I'd recommend something like a 4 to 6 inch reflecting telescope. Very simple, with a very simple mounting. No electronics, and this way you learn the sky by hopping from star to star to the object you want to see. It's a little bit harder to use, but it lasts forever, lasts you a lifetime, and you'll learn the sky this way. That's how I started. That's how I recommend you start.
All right. Very good advice from Dr. David Levy. David, always a pleasure. I think we've already got you scheduled now for your October visit to the program, and wish you the best. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, Bill.
Dr. David Levy, who is the contributor on astronomy and science on the Buckmaster Show. We're delighted to have him with us. Boy, we've got a busy week coming up here. Tomorrow we're going to talk travel, one of my favorite segments. Not that I don't like them all, but I really love to talk travel with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. He'll have some tips about perhaps you're thinking of maybe holiday travel, getting away, certainly for Thanksgiving, Christmas. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Beth Gorman will join us. Beth knows all about Pima County air quality. We'll find out how we did over the summer months, and now we're transitioning into the new season of air quality, so we'll figure out what's going on with that. Later in the week, our quarterly update on air service from Tucson International Airport, so lots coming up on the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to do it for our Monday edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Thank you, John. We put it all together today. John Couch on the other side of the glass. And we've got Dave Ramsey coming up. And I find his show very interesting. I've become a big Dave Ramsey fan. So have a great afternoon and evening, everybody.